Okay, welcome back. Rabbi Jay is at the Ethics Conference, so he's not around today. So I'll be, if anything technical, let me know and I'll try to fix it. I'm in Teaneck, so I'm in a classroom in Renot, so hopefully there's not too bad of an echo. Today's topic is going to be trying to understand our topic from last week, why the last chapter of Yeshua is the covenant we make, how I view it as the end of Chumash and the end of the theme of Chumash. And because it's a week before Shavuot, I want to relate it to maybe a deeper understanding of Matan Torah and the idea of the volume is way down. So I should speak louder. Is that, wait a second. Is that better now? Do you hear okay or not? No change?
It's fine for me.
Fine? Okay. Anyone else have a problem with the volume?
No, it's awesome. Very good.
Okay. So whoever wrote, just put your volume up on your computer. Okay. Back to, the source sheet. Okay. So let me share my screen and we're back to last week. Last week, we talked about the final chapter. We talked about the outline of the book. I'll just do a quick review. The goal of the book is to explain to the people that God kept his promise. The first five chapters show how Am Yisrael gets ready for conquest and how God helped them. And every time that we took a initiative, God was there to help us. And the same thing, when we conquered the land, everywhere where we went, God was there to help us unless we'd sinned. And then he couldn't help us because we weren't following his commandments. And therefore the book's final line, chapter 23, the final speech chronologically, Yeshua is telling the people that everything God promised came true, and wherever you went, God was there to help you. If the conquest wasn't complete, you're to blame and not God. That was the main point we tried to make, and we proved it from the end. That chapter 24 had to happen earlier in the conquest, once we're in the area of Shechem, and we explained that Yeshua began his speech with an historical review, and I'll give you an example from Har Sinai. In Har Sinai, let me just share a different screen. If I go back to Sefer Shemot and talk about the Brit at Har Sinai, if I go to Shemot, Genesis, Shemot, give me a second. We're going to read chapter 24, Shavuos morning. Exodus 24. I mean, not 24, 19. I'm mistaken. No, one second. God, that was wrong. I got everything messed up here. Try again. That is not right. Okay. In chapter 19, Am Yisrael arrives at Har Sinai in the third month. Moshe calls God up to the mountain, or God calls Moshe to the mountain. And God tells Moshe as follows, Kol Tamar LeBeit Yaakov Tagid Livnei Yisrael. Here's the proposition. A very short history. Look what I did for you. Look what I did to Egypt. Look how I brought you here. And now, what will you do for me? You're going to obey me and keep my breath. You'll be my special nation, even though I'm the God of all the lands. If you accept that, you'll be for me a nation representing God, a nation separated in service of God. And you represent God as a people, not just as individuals, but as a nation serving God. That's the proposition. Moshe tells it to the people. The people answer and say they want to do it. And then we get the contract and the story. The rest is the Ten Commandments and all the laws at Har Sinai. That's called Brit Sinai in a nutshell. Now, Chazal understand that acceptance was under duress because we needed God for food and for water and for protection. And we didn't have much of a choice. And my claim was that chapter 24 is going to make it official. So in chapter 24 that we started seeing last week, Yeshua also begins with an historical background. And what does he say? He gathers the people together, gives a much more detailed history of what happened. Yeshua gathers the people together and tells him, your ancestors were once living in Beth Nahor, and God took Avram Avinu and brought him to the land. He chose Yitzchak, he chose Yaakov went out to Egypt. We went out to Egypt. He gives the whole story how we tried out to God in Egypt. God came and saved us. And we don't end with God taking us out of Egypt. God took care of us in the desert. God helped us conquer the eastern bank of the Jordan. Okay? And now, hear what he thought. He's helping us conquer the land of Israel itself. And I'm giving you a land you didn't work for, cities, fields you didn't plant. Basically, everything said, look what I did for you. And now the transition ba'ata, see? But look what I did for you, and now what will you do for me? Now, are you willing to do what? To fear God and serve God with your full heart? Get rid of your idol worship? If not, take, and that was the topic we talked about last week. Why is he giving them a choice? Is he playing the devil's advocate? Or does he want to make sure that they're really committed to do it, even though there's other options of God they could work for? And the main thing we point out is that the people answer and they say, Chalila lanu, we're going to serve other, we're not going to serve other gods, we're going to serve our God, and they do another Nasa Benishma right over here. Yeshua tries to discourage them, it'll be hard. And the people say, Lo atiyat Hashem Navod. Yeshua says, you guys are witnesses, you chose God to serve him. And then, V'yimram al-Yeshua, Hashem al-Hinu Navod, v'kolo nishma. Remember, Har Sinai, Nishmot Yishmu b'kolo, Yishmatem et Briti. So now the people accept the Brit to be God's people. Then Yeshua writes it down in the Sefer, and they make a big ceremony in Shechem. So that was our topic last week. Why Yeshua ends the book with making the Brit of Har Sinai official. Now, what I want to explain is why this is so central to the Sefer Yeshua. And how it relates to Sefer Dvarim and the story of Har Sinai and Sefer Dvarim. We compared it in Sefer Shemot to the same breed with writing in the Sefer. That was good old Nasa Benishma. Now, that was all topics from last week. What we keep on not getting to is chapter 28 in Tehillim. So I'm going to do chapter 20 in Tehillim and show how it relates to Yeshua. And then I'll take it back and explain how Sefer Yeshua relates to the breed in Dvarim. So let's take a break. And use Tehillim 78 to appreciate what we did so far in Yeshua. Okay. Tehillim 78 is a sort of a reflection on what's happening in Chumash and why we teach Torah to our children. Maskil Asaf. Asaf is one of the Levites in the time of King David. And he's sort of paraphrasing from Shirat Hazinu, Hazina mi Torati hatu asachem limritvi. Now, why am I comparing that to Yeshua? Because Shirat Hazinu was telling us, that was our first share, that don't blame God when things go wrong, blame yourselves. And there are tamim pa'olo, God's always right. And shechet lo, no, benabumam. And Hashem tikmul lezot, everything we talked about in the first share, don't blame God, but blame yourselves when things go wrong. It begins, I'm going to open my mouth with a mashal, I'll speak in a parable. And he says as follows, Pasuk Gimel. Asher shamanu v'nida'im v'avotenu sipralanu. We're going to take the things that we know, we heard from our parents, that they told us. We can't hide from our children what our parents taught us. L'dor acharon mesaprim tilot Hashem v'zudav v'nifotav asher asam. Dor acharon here means the next generation, not the final generation, but the next generation. Remember, acharon, acharon, chaviv, one after the next. Okay? So it's, we can't hide from our children to the next generation. We have to tell all the great things that God did and all the miracles he did for us and the laws he gave us. He gave us testimonies or laws. The Torah Sambi Israel. He gave us instruction booklet. We call the Torah. Again, going back to Sefer Dvarim. Asher tzivat avoteinu lodiyam divnehem. The commandment in Sefer Dvarim is to take the Torah and teach it to our children. So we're supposed to teach, we're supposed to learn from our parents the stories and the laws of Chumash. And we have to learn them and teach them to our children. Oh. Listen carefully. Leman yedu Torah Charon, so that the next generation will know these laws and stories. Panim yivaledu. Yakubo v'stapu livnehem. That's why Torah Charon has to be the next generation, not the last generation.
Hmm.
The next generation has to teach their children. Now, and what's the goal of teaching Torah? Not just the laws, but the stories. V'yastimu be'elohim kislam. They should put their faith in God. They shouldn't forget what God does to watch our history. And that will motivate them to keep his mitzvot. Now comes the big line, which is mind-boggling. is, why did we learn Chumash? When I study Sefer Bamidbar, or Shmot, or basically even Sefer Bereshit, but especially the story of the first generation coming out of Egypt, we shouldn't be like our ancestors. Dor Sore Morah, a rebellious generation. Dor Loichin Libo V'lo Nemnad Avuvo. A generation whose heart wasn't ready. God did everything to redeem them. Their hearts were not ready for redemption. They weren't steadfast. They weren't supportive with God in their spirit. Meaning, God did everything for them. He was hoping that people would reciprocate and be ready to be his people. Instead, they didn't internalize the meaning of what it means to be in the service of God. They didn't mind receiving, they didn't mind receiving privileges, but they weren't willing to take the responsibility of being God's people. And the Mizmor calls it a Dor Sorel Moreh, built again off Sefer Dvarim, but Ben Sorel Moreh. And if you're ever looking for a source where it's okay to be critical of our ancestors, you can't miss this idea here in Sefer, in this Tehillim, that sometimes the Chumash tells us negative stories to learn from their mistakes. Because we have to be a door that's mechin libo, that has its heart ready. The Mizmor goes on and goes through Chumash and talks about all the bad, how God was good to us and how we were bad to them. I'm going to stop the share for a minute and give you some examples of the Mizmor itself. The chat. Let me do a quick mute. Someone asked me to mute, so I'll check on the chat to mute. Give me a second. I'll stop the share. And I'll put on a mute, and then we'll get back on. Now, if I'm going to open up now, Tehillim 78. No, 72 there. Smaller. Is that good? After this introduction in Tehillim, the Mizmor is going to bring in lots of examples about how bad we were. Let's give some examples. Here. God split the sea for us. He crossed the over. Okay? He led us with the Anan, all parts of the Shalach. He opened up the rock and got water. Okay, we give water like a flowing river in Har Sinai, but nonetheless we continue to sin. Okay, we tested God in Masa Meribah. Okay, and then we questioned, could God give us food? That's the story of the man. Okay, and then again, God heard all this and he got angry. We taber, he got angry. Okay, and he brought punishment on Yaakov. His anger was kindled against Israel. They weren't trustworthy of God. They weren't sure that he could help them. He brought the Slav to feed them. He gave them man, all the things that God did for us, all the food he brought to us. And then it talks about the Mitavim, who took too much to the Slav. Okay. That's the Mitavim, Vetavatamal. Okay. And God got angry at them and he killed again the ones who ate too much. Okay. And nonetheless, all the punishments, they continued to sin. Okay. And that's a generation that, of the spies. Okay. And whenever he killed them, they returned, they did tshuva and they turned to God. Okay. They remembered God was their, redeemer, but it wasn't serious. Okay. They sort of tried to get God by saying they'll be better. Okay. But they kept on lying and didn't keep up to the word. And what's the final summary? Their heart wasn't complete. They weren't trustworthy in his brief. This idea of breathe again, we'll see. And why did God give us another chance? Because God's a forgiving God. That's the second luchot. Okay? And therefore he doesn't get kindle his entire anger against us. Why? Because he remembers we're only human. We're human and God understands we make mistakes and he gives us another chance. Then he talks about how bad we were in the desert and we kept on testing God. We didn't remember all the miracles he did for us in Egypt and we go through all the makot. And that was the pasuk from the Seder with Barad. God sent Charon Apo, Abraham Hazam, Saram Shach Machirim. That's how we learn every makot, four makot or five makot, because this whole parak relates to the Seder. And then we're going to get now to our topic. Okay. We finished the generation of the desert, and now we get to Israel, and this is going to be the background to Sefer Yoshua. Okay. Now, by Vayim B'Gvul Kodesho, after all the events in the desert, he brings it to the border of the Holy Land. Har Zeh Kanta Yimino. All parallels from Shirat Tzinu. By Garish B'Nehem Goyim, God helped us get rid of all the enemies, exile the enemies from us. By Apilim B'Chelon Nachala, that's the second part of Yeshua, getting our Nachalot. Be'ashkem Bo'alem Shifte Yisrael. So, by Garish B'Nehem Goyim, that's the first 12 chapters of Yeshua. By Apilim B'Chelon Nachala, that's going to be the chapters 13 through 21 of Yeshua. Then we get from Yeshua to Sefer Shoftim. By Nasu, by Amru, at Elin Elyon, they don't have Shemaro, they didn't keep his laws. By Yizgu, by Tuv Kavutam, Nepul Keshet Remiya, they started losing battles in Sefer Shoftim. God, they got angry with the Bamot, all parallels from Shirat Hazinu. Okay, Yaknu Bezedim. Okay, God heard what they're doing, he got angry. He got upset with Israel. And now we get to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. By Tosh Mishkan Shiloh, he abandoned Mishkan Shiloh, remember with Bnei Eli. And by Tain Lashev Yehudot, that Aaron was taken captive. His glory, and they had an enemy of the Plishtim. By Zerah Lachama, we lost our battles to the Plishtim. And God was angry with his Nachala. Right? The young men were killed in fire, or eaten by fire. The women were defiled. The Kohanim were killed. Remember Bnei Eli. Okay. And then after all that disaster, then God sort of recovers, like someone getting up from sleep, like a strong man waking up from becoming sober. And we begin to defeat our enemies again. That's the beginning of Shaul's kingdom and later David's kingdom. Okay. By Masbo Yosef, he unchooses, the children of Rachel, the tent of Yosef in Ephraim, Yosef in Ephraim Lobachar. They've heard Shevet Yehuda, he picks Yehuda over Ephraim, they've heard Siyam Asherahav, and he picked Yerushalayim. And then David builds a Mikdash, or David and Shlomo, and establish it forever. And he picks David to be a servant, picks him up from enemy, after bringing his sacrifices to him, and he puts him in charge of leading the people of Yaakov and Yisrael Nachlato. And David is a good leader, and follows and leads him the right way. Because he gets the hearts, ketom levavo, his heart's ready for redemption. And basically, the Mizmor is saying that the first leader to get it right was going to be Yeshua. Now, Yeshua is the one who takes the breath, and Yeshua, David, is the first one that fulfills the goals of Sefer Yeshua, that if we conquer the land and settle it, so we have leadership that's going to lead the people serving God properly. It didn't last too long, so David and the early years of Shlomo, but at least we get up to a good start. Now, what I'm trying to explain from Yeshua, from Sefer Tim's Einchet, that he puts Yeshua in the context of fulfilling the goal of Chumash. The goal of Chumash was this covenant between God and the people. God was doing his side to make it work. God gets upset when the people don't fulfill their side. That's why the first generation didn't make it. God gives a chance to the second generation, they're more ready. The first generation of Yeshua gets the Nachama, but still, the next generation goes astray again, and we finally get it right in the time of David. Now, the idea is that at what point are we going to fulfill this goal of being a nation that's going to fulfill its purpose in serving God? This idea of Brit that we saw in the in Tidim Ein Chet in Yeshua, I want to show how it develops from Chumash into Navi. So let me, I'm going to trace the theme of Brit and going to focus primarily on Sefer Dvarim, but let's start from Brishit. Who can tell me, where's the first time we have a concept of Brit in Chumash? The idea of a covenant. Where's the first time we have an idea of a covenant in Chumash?
Noah.
After what event?
The flood.
But, and what does God promise to do?
Not to do it again.
I call that the best example of describing God in human terms. Where God makes a decision and does something, regrets what he does, and then regrets that he regretted and promises not to do it again. So it's, in God's actions, it's very parallel to what we sort of, we do as well. But God makes a brit with his creation, never to start over again. It's called brit keshet. Now, the question is going to be not so much why the story is in Chumash, but how Chumash tells the story. As to appreciate why Chumash tells the story of the flood the way it does, is that simply telling us what happened? Or is that setting us up to understanding why we're chosen? I'm making a fundamental point about how we study Chumash. Are the stories in Sefer Bereshit, especially stories like the flood story, are they there to tell you what happened? Are they setting the stage? Are they a platform to understand why we're chosen? Now, if I'm going to find parallels between the wording of the rainbow covenant between God and his creation and his covenant with Avraham Avinu, we're onto something. So let's pay careful attention to God's covenant after the flood. So we're going to open up. We have to share my screen again. I'm sorry. Share my screen and I'm going to open up the story of the flood in here, chapter 9. After the flood's over, then Elohim blesses Noach and tells him, Purvu, follow all the parallels to creation on day 6. God tells Noach and his children, Purvu, okay? And then your fear, all living things will fear you. Very similar to Reduba to Kipshua. Maybe a little bit lower down. But now you can eat other animals without going to what changed. But you can't eat them alive. Okay? But because you can kill other animals and eat them, doesn't mean you can kill other human beings. And therefore, Shafech Dam Adam, Adam Dom Shafech, keep it selling with Simat Adam. We learned 7 Ochalites from here. And the final statement, Attempuravu, Shus to Varsu Ruba. That's what we call, that's the promise of what we call the 7 Ochalites laws, but God's explaining man, now he has expectations for man, it's okay to eat meat, but you can't kill other human beings. Now we get to the brief. Right. Look at this wording. I, God saying, I'm going to establish and your offspring after you. There'll be a brief between Noah and all humankind that stems down from Noah. And every living thing, not just you and humans, but all living things on land, everything I created, everything coming out of the Teva. Okay? Now look at the wording now. Pasuk Yud Aleph. What's it say? Vakimoti et briti itchem. Remember this phrase. I'm going to establish a brit with you. Okay? I'm not going to bring another flood. There'll be another flood to destroy the land, the Shachet et Haaretz. And then God says, Elohim says, Zot ot habrit asher anochi asher ani noten beni ubeinechem ubein ashrem nefesh asher itchem ledorot olam. It's a brit. It's an eternal brit. To be a sign of the brit. Et kashin atati bana v'itala od brit beni ubein haaretz. The rainbow will be an eternal reminder of this covenant between God and the land. He's not going to start over again. I just want to review these key phrases. Vakimoti et briti. Benu benechem, a brit olam, and an oath brit. Now, that's Elohim talking to man. Look again. Vayomer Elohim Noach, ta. Now, what's amazing is after these tukim in chapter 9, the next time Elohim talks to anybody is in chapter 17 in Sefer Bereshit. It's God's name in all the events that take place after this. It's going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. Story of Migdal Bavel, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Avram being chosen, Lech Lecha, Brit Ben Aptarim. Everything is in Yud Kei Vav Kei. The next time Elohim speaks to anybody is going to be in chapter 17, what we call Brit Milah. So just remember that again. Elohim speaks after the flood and promises not to bring another flood. And the next time Elohim speaks is going to be in what we call Brit Milah, chapter 17. Avram is 99 years old. Okay. Hashem, who's talked to him all along, appears to him. And now Hashem introduces himself to Avram again and says, Ani El Shaddai, Italech Lefnei V'Yatamim. Remember, Elohim has never spoken to Avram Avinu. the name that Chumash uses for God speaking to Avraham up until now was Hashem. Okay. God introduced himself as Ani El Shaddai, whatever that means for now, a special name for this breed. And the commandment, walk in front of God or walk with God and be perfect. That's what Noah was. That's what Avraham needs to be. You see already the setup between Noah and Avraham Avinu, setting the stage. Then God tells Avraham, "Betnabriti beni ubenecha, labelcha b'mod mod. I'm going to make a brit between me and you. Now multiply you." Very similar to the seven Noahite laws. Okay. Avraham falls on his face in awe, and vaydaber ito Elohim lemor. And now Elohim speaks to Avraham. And now watch carefully. Ani hinei briti itach. God tells Avraham Avinu b'shem Elohim, I'm going to make a brit with you. Next line, Vayit alav amon goyim. And here's the big question. Is this promise, I'm going to make a brit with you, and you're going to be an av amon goyim, is that the purpose of the covenant or the reward for the covenant? God's saying, I'm making a brit with you. God's introducing a brit with Avraham Avinu. So I'm going to make a brit with you, b'shem Elohim, and you're going to be an av amon goyim. Now, someone tell me how you understand this idea of what does av amon goyim mean? Is it reward or is it purpose? Anybody want to suggest something? Tell me why it sounds like reward and what the reward is. Everybody? Someone want to get, let me turn the screen up for a second. Vayit av amon goyim. God says, I'm going to make a brit with you. Is the next line going to be the purpose of the brit or the reward for the brit? What would make more sense?
I thought it was the reward, that if you listen to me, then you're going to be the father of many nations.
Give me some example of those nations, of any nations that come from Avraham Avinu.
Israel, Edom.
Amalek.
Amalek, yeah.
Moab, Ammon.
Moab, Ammon, through
Yeah. What's that? What type of reward is that? And why is that? What's that to do with the covenant? I'm saying I understand that idea, but what does that do with the covenant? And why is that reward? And what's that to do with the concept of covenant? A lot of people have children and become nations. And nations are going to fight with each other forever. Av can mean something else. Av can also mean a father, mean a mentor. I can follow here what Shadal says. No, Shadal, or let's say, I'll see the Parsham. Av can mean, like Yosef says, I'm an Av to Paro here. I'll show you the resources in a minute. What I want to suggest is, this isn't reward, because I'm expecting being purpose. God saying, I'm entering a covenant with you, Avraham Avinu, to be a mentor for other nations. And it's the purpose of the covenant, not the reward for the covenant. That's like when God told Avraham, Lech Lecha, I'll make you a great nation. That's not reward, that's the purpose of beginning the journey. So let's take a look again.
Well, God does not say what he wants from Avraham, so therefore there could be no reward. Because Avraham doesn't know what's expected of him, unless we interpret it as you do, which is Av Hamon Goyim. In other words, now you're going to be a leader or...
of other nations.
But
it fits with Hitalech Hanagatamim, to walk in front of me, to take a leadership role, to walk with God. Now, let's see what he says next.
Yeah.
We'll get Avram. He changes his name from Avram to Abraham. Ki Av Hamon Goyim Netzaticha. The idea of Av Hamon Goyim goes right to Abraham's name. I'll bless you with children. Be afraid to have debated about the Od. Very simple. That's what preceded the blessing of, before the Rainbow Covenant. And now look at the wording. Isn't that the exact same wording as the Rainbow Covenant? I'm going to establish a covenant between me and you. Right? What's God saying? I'm going to establish a covenant between me and you and your offspring forever, an eternal covenant. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. See this idea of Lachan Elohim? Keep that phrase in mind. Let's go back and look at the parallel pasuk by the Rainbow Covenant in verse 11. Vakimoti et briti itchem, lo yikra kol basar mi'am abu, lo yod mabu. Vakimoti et briti is the purpose of the covenant. The covenant is, God won't bring another flood. And therefore, the purpose of the next covenant is "Vakimoti et briti b'ni u'b'necha," forever, or brit olam. Then I'll be your God, and hence you'll be my people. Remember the fourth cup? You said this morning in davening, why did God take us out of Egypt? The goal of our history is for Hashem to be our boss and we to be his people. I'll show you a couple more examples in a minute. We had in Parsha B'chukotai in the beginning. Attempt to the Am, Anochi Yad Lachem Elohim. We have it numerous times, but Yod Lachem Elohim is a parallel of, and you'll be my people. It's a forerunner of Brit Sinai. Yeah.
Here's this question. In the Brit Keshet, what was mankind's side of the contract? It was just that God was not going to destroy the world. What did they have to do?
So it seems like a non-conditional contract, but that's why it's preceded with the Noahite laws. So it's God doesn't want you. No, God didn't say I won't punish anybody. He said I won't start over again, but I'll still punish. I can punish stone. I can punish. He got still involved, but not to the point of hitting the reset button. Instead of punishing everybody, he'll give warning and he'll punish selectively, hoping other people watching the punishment will learn from what he does. Now, what I want to connect is partially because of your question. Because of Brit Keshet, I need Brit Milah. Hope that's clear. But what I want to claim is that the parallel wording is telling you parallel purpose. And once God decided, I can't bring another flood, I can't start over again, God is sort of stuck with his creation. As he made a covenant that mankind or humankind will be there forever. He won't hit the reset button. He won't start over again. What can God do to hopefully prevent things from going totally astray again, from total corruption happening? One of the tools that God's going to use, and that's what Chumash is going to focus on, is God's going to enter a special relationship with the people to be his model nation that hopefully other nations can learn from, and hence God not need to bring punishment. Once God says, I can't start over again, if it breaks, I have to fix it. And God's going to enter into the history of nations, one nation, whose purpose will be to act in a way that other nations can learn from. And that's the Av Hamon Goyim. But I'm trying to take the textual parallel, which is clear. Again, Lakimot Yet Briti, God's name Elohim, the idea of an eternal Brit, a Brit Olam, and an Oath Brit. I'm trying to connect that thematically, that once God makes his promise, I'm not going to start over again, and God can't start his creation over again, but wants man to be good. To help facilitate man being good, God's going to enter a special relationship with one nation, who's going to be in the service of God, who's going to represent God, and God's hope is that nation can act in a way that other nations can learn from. God doesn't promise it'll work, but God promises there'll be an eternal covenant, it'll be an eternal purpose to be an Av Hamon Goyim. To the point that becomes the name of Abraham, Abraham to be an Av Hamon Goyim. Ki Av Hamon Goyim Netatecha. And he does it by Yitalech Lefanei Ve'yatamim, by the way he behaves. Is that just a side little point? In my opinion, it's the key theme of Chumash that's developing. Now, to be a nation, and as an individual, Avram can only do so much as an individual, and he can only live for so long. God wants a nation, and therefore Avram has to begin a nation that's going to fulfill that purpose. So God's planting the seeds of the nation with Avram Avinu, and hence Brit Milah will be the forerunner of Brit Sinai. But remember all these phrases, Avakimoti et Briti, Adot Lachal Elohim, Abrit Olam, with God's name Elohim.
But Rabbi, do you see that as a difference between Noach and Abraham? In Noach, the Brit is a one-way street. God grants Noach and the world a new opportunity. Whereas in Abraham, it's a two-way street. It's a covenant, but it's also a contract because it says, et briti tishmor.
You have to keep it, but it's an eternal covenant because it can't be broken. Remember, Ki Menoch, that's Yisrael said, Ki Menoch, don't leave. Remember that Haftar we read for Parshat Noach? Now, God's covenant with Am Yisrael is like his covenant with Noach, that it can't be broken. That doesn't mean it's going to work. His purpose is eternal. God doesn't promise that Avram always fulfilled the goal of being an Avraham Goyim. He's saying that that's the eternal purpose of the Brit, and that eternal purpose will never change. Just like Brit Keshet doesn't change. And that's why Yirmiyahu say the same thing like Yishayahu says, that my Brit that I made with Shemayim Ba'aretz is like my Brit I made with Abraham Avinu, later with David, with Am Yisrael, that it's an eternal Brit that can't be broken. It doesn't promise that it'll work, but it's an eternal goal. That's why it's so fundamental to understanding Chumash. Now, a nation can be eternal. To be a Brit Olam, I need to have children. And that's why the promise of children goes hand in hand with the Brit. In fact, our reminder of that covenant will be a reminder in the realm of the need to have children and to educate them. And hence circumcision covenant will be a very powerful reminder of our need to be God's people forever. It's the blessing of Pur Vu, of having children. That's why Chazal understands for Am Yisrael, it's a commandment, not just a blessing. For all nations, it's a blessing having children. For Am Yisrael, it's a commandment to keep Judaism going. So if I go back down to Brit Milah, you'll be a nation. You're going to start a nation. You and your offspring will be a nation. You'll be my God. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. To do that, I'm giving you a land. I'll give you a land for your children after you. Eretz Canaan to be your eternal inheritance in Achuzat Olam. And there I'll be your God. Meaning to facilitate being a nation forever, you need a land. You need people, you need a land. Zerah v'aretz. Okay? And then Elohim tells Avram, keep this covenant. Okay? And what's going to be the sign of your covenant? Himol lachem kol zachar, circumcision. All the same wording like Brit Keshet. The sign of the covenant, the Oath Brit, was a rainbow, now the Oath Covenant here, the circumcision between God and his people. And we need a constant reminder of the need to be God's people forever. And hence, in something relating to having children, we have an eternal reminder that we're God's people forever. And hence Brit Milah. But again, the idea of an Oath Brit, a reminder of a covenant. Now, this is, who's this? Parshan. One second. I have it here. Make it smaller. That's better. Okay, the Sforno. Here we go. The Sforno of Beit Alavam and Goyim. Okay? Because Shad Kol, Shekar Avram, B'Shem Hashem. Until now, Avram has been calling out in God's name. Begir Kam Anashim. Okay? Okay? But now, up until now, he's only had an effect on the people he was able to, bring over. And they entered the cloud of the Hashem, but Avram had effect on people. Okay? The Dabar said, Yevshar lachol olam. Not everyone can be that way. God's picking one nation to represent them, not for all people. Notice, Avram did as many people as he can, but I need something long term. Okay? God doesn't want everyone to be Jewish, just one nation to represent them. God wants everyone to know God, to be good, but he's choosing us to represent him. Okay? And this we say in Aleinu in the second paragraph. This is all this morning. The other gods will go away. Okay? Avram has to focus that his has to dedicate his life and his understanding to begin a nation that will be an Avram and Goyim. Lakiram et Hashem, to make them recognize God. It's like a father teaching his child to go in the straight path. Okay? And that explains the earlier Shukim. Okay? That's it. Translate that in English. I'll send you the short sheet later on. That's Avram Tzipori B'Shem Hashem, something related, that's a different topic already. Let me turn off that. Stop share. So again, what I'm trying to show you is that at the original stage of the covenant with Avram Avinu, we're planting the seeds. Now, not all of Avram's children will be chosen, only Yitzhak. And not all of Yitzhak, only Yaakov. And that's what God tells, that's what Yeshua said in the beginning of the speech. I picked Avram from the world of idol worship. I continue to bring with Yitzhak, and with Yitzhak to Yaakov, and Yaakov goes down to Egypt. And then they begin fulfilling the historical covenant of Brit Ben Aftarim. But when we get back to Har Sinai, we get back to to Brit Sinai. Now watch what happens next. Let me share my screen. We get to Har Sinai. Let me get another source sheet up real fast. My mistake. Get right on time. Why is it not opening up? I'll try again. Share. Oh, stop the share. Okay. Share screen. PDF. There we go. And it's not good. There we go. We did that one. Now we need this one. Okay. Here's the Brit at Har Sinai again. ואתם שמו תשמעו בכל דיר שמרתם את בריתי, ואתם נזכו להם מכל עמים, ואתם תהיו ממלכת כהנים וגוי קדוש. That's Brit Sinai, to be a nation in the service of God. Now, if I go back to before we leave Egypt, so what we call the four cups, this phrase, this idea of Yot Lach Elohim, to be our God, remember that phrase? Look where it comes up. If I go back to Sefer Shemot, here we go. Shemot chapter 6, which you know by heart. Okay. God tells Moshe, I appear to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. L'chein amor livnei Yisrael, ani Hashem. I'm your God. And what? I'll take you out of Egypt. I'll save you, etc. Pasuk Zayin. V'lekachti etchem li la'am, v'yiti lechem l'Elohim. See that idea? That's Brit Milah. This is, the Pasuk Vav is Brit Ben Aptarim. Taking you out of Egypt, saving you from your oppression. Pasuk Zayin is God fulfilling Brit Milah. V'lekachti etchem li la'am, v'yiti lechem l'Elohim. To be your God, I'll be his people. Remember? Circumcision is the sign of the covenant, but the covenant is, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Then you'll know that that's why I took you out of Egypt. After you accept the covenant in Har Sinai to be a nation representing God, then I'll bring you to the land and you can inherit it. And that'll take us to Sefer Yeshua. Okay. Am Yisrael doesn't understand it yet. I'll give one other example in Chumash, in Parshat Bahar, which goes back to the theme of Har Sinai. Let's go up to page up. Okay. In Parshat Bechukotai that we read last week, Leviticus 26, if we follow God's laws, remember in Bechukotai Telefo, God will give us, you know, give us rewards, etc. Pasuk Tet. Look at the wording. Ufaniti alechem. Vifreiti etchem, v'rbeiti etchem. All sound familiar? Proverb we have by Brit Milah and by Brit Keshet. V'akimoti et briti etchem. See all the words that we have by Brit Keshet and by Brit Milah? Proverb and v'akimoti et briti etchem. God will bless the land. I'll give you a mishkan to represent me. V'italachti b'tochachem. I'll walk with you. You'll walk with me. V'aiti lachem l'Elohim v'atem tzvi l'am. Let's get that bigger. This is Parsha Bahar B'chukotai. If you keep my mitzvot, then what will happen? You'll represent me, therefore I can walk among you. Vayiti lachem l'Elohim, atem tzvi l'am. V'yot lachem l'Elohim goes together, and you'll be my people, I'll be your nation. And that's why I took you out of Egypt. Okay? I took you out of Egypt in order to fulfill this brit. If you don't listen, you're in big trouble. You'll always be my people, but I have to punish you. Now, one more example in Parshat Nitzavim. Let's go to Sefer Devarim. There's Exodus. We need, but we don't want Exodus, we want Devarim. Devarim. Parshat Nitzavim. Chapter 30. Okay. Mitzvah. So chapter 20, if I'm not mistaken. 29. Okay. Chapter 29. Okay. Everyone knows Parshat Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim mehem kuchem lifnei Hashem elokechem, Roshei sheftechem. You're standing now in front of God. Lavracha, bivrit Hashem alecha uvanotom. We're going to make a brit on Har Sinai in the 40th year. Am Yisrael going to enter one more last brit before they go into Israel. Okay. Why? Leman hakim otcha lo la'am v'yechad Elohim. To make you his nation, he'll be his people. Kasher diber la, v'kasher nishba la v'tech la'bram mitzach Yaakov. Kasher nishba la v'tech la'bram mitzach Yaakov, that's Brit Milah, isn't it? Brit Avot, Brit Milah. And this is Brit Sinai. And like you promised your forefathers. And this breed is eternal. And get the people now standing in Brit Nisavim in the 40th year, and everyone not here yet. Okay? And then he gives a whole story about, look what God did for you, and make sure to keep the breed, and you can't break out of it. That'll be, just trying to show you this idea of breed is, goes from Brit Keshet to Brit Milah to Brit Sinai to, and the reason why God's giving us the land and why we're setting up the people. Now, I want to finish this with this idea in Sefer Dvarim. Remember Brit Milah's Be'ochad Elohim? Then we'll connect it back to Yeshua. Where is my source sheet? Here we go. In Sefer Dvarim, we've done this before, but let me share my screen. Just a quick crash course. At Matan Torah, remember we took upon ourselves to be a Mamlechet Kohanim v'Kadosh, to be a nation serving God. Moshe goes up to get for the 40 days, get the first laws, we get the laws in Devarim, but in a nutshell, in Moshe's speech to Sefer Devarim, he says as follows. Moshe calls all of Israel together. Remember the speech begins in chapter 25. Shema Yisrael, listen to Israel, the Chukim Mishpatim, which I'm commanding you today, learn them and keep them. Moshe is going to begin a speech in Sefer Devarim from chapter 5 to 26, and he's going to say, listen to the laws I'm teaching you. Before he teaches the laws, what's he say? Hashem Elokeinu kratim ad brit b'chorin. Hashem, our God, meaning Hashem, our boss, made a brit with us at Har Sinai. Now, that's in chapter 5, Moshe is going to tell the story of Mamlechet Har Sinai, the brit, and how he got the laws and why the people got scared and why they begged him to teach them. And then chapter 6 to 11 will be the mitzvah section of loving God and fearing God, what we call the two parshat Kriyat Shema. And the Chukim Mishpatim will be the technical law section of the how to become a nation representing God, our national center, Mekom Yishuv HaHashem, our laws about our holidays, about our judicial system, about our leadership section, the Melech, laws about going to war, laws about the marketplace, laws of our economic system, laws about the Supreme Court, basically all laws in Devarim. Is how to become a nation representing God. At the end of the speech, when the speech is over, when the speech begins, after he tells the story, what's coming up in the speech in chapter 6 is the Chukim Mishpatim that God commanded us to keep in the land. And then Moshe explains that Hashem Elokeinu, who is Koreitim and Rubit B'chorev, Hashem, our boss, not just our God and no one else's God, he's everyone's God, but Hashem who we're working for, the God who chose us to serve him, he is the one and only God. That's why Chazal call it Kabbalat Malchut Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, that understand that we're in the service of God. You have to love God with all your heart, etc. And then finally, Hayom Hazeh, at the end of the speech, after all the mitzvot, after 22 chapters of laws, this day God's command you keep all these laws, keep them with all your heart and all your soul. And now we have this famous exchange of vows between God and his people. What we say in Davening, Anu Mamrecha Batama Mirenu. Et Hashem emarta hayom, what do we take upon ourselves? That he'll liot lachal Elohim. See, at the end of the speech in Tvarim, we're going to summarize the thing. That's Brit Milah again. We took upon ourselves, he'll be our God, to walk in his ways, that's doing tzedek u'mishpat, also with him in Tvarim, keeping all of his laws, lishmo b'kolot, that's Brit Sinai. Okay? God took upon himself, lo lolam skula, kasher diber lach, as he told you, Har Sinai, to keep all of his laws. And to put you in a leadership position above the nations for God's glory, renown, and fame. And that will make you an Am Kadosh, like he told you in Har Sinai, Batem Tulim, Am Nechet Kohanim V'Kol Kadosh. In other words, if you keep the laws of Sefer Devarim, establish a nation representing God, having the right attitude, keeping the laws right, that way you fulfill the goal of Har Sinai. Hope that's like nice and clear. Meaning that the main commitment, the main event that happens at Har Sinai is not receiving a gift, but accepting a responsibility. The main event of Matan Torah is not, oh, we received a present, or we won some lottery, but rather As a nation, we took upon ourselves the responsibility to be a nation in the service of God. We do it by keeping the laws of the Torah, not only as individuals, but as a nation. Those laws about our national behavior that are primarily in Sefer Dvarim. After Moshe teaches all the laws about how we become a nation in the service of God, for that reason we need a land, but we have to keep the laws on land properly. We have to have a judicial system, a just one. We have to have a Supreme Court. We have to have a king who's limited by a Navi, by a Supreme Court, and has to run the country, but not be too powerful. We need laws, again, we need laws that'll lead us in a way to act in the God and act in a manner that other nations will see us and that will sanctify God. But that's the theme. And now we'll get to finally Yeshua. What's Yeshua say? What did God tell Yeshua? The book begins with the transition in Devarim right before the end of the Mitzvah section and the Chukim Mishpatim section. If I go back to Sefer Devarim, let me open the share again. If I go back to Sefer Devarim, here we are, in chapter 11. Oh, it's not working again. In Sefer Devarim, in chapter 11, we have second parsha of Kriyat Shema. Verse 13, keep my laws. Remember, I give you rain at the right time. If not, I'll kick you away. And then to live in land for a long time, right? You have to keep my laws. Now, what's Hashem tell you? Moshe, which is going to be the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. Remember? Kim shemor tishmur kol hamitzvaso. If you keep this whole commandment, which is what? Which I'm commanding you today. To love God. To walk in his ways. That's going to be repeated again at the end of the speech. We just saw that. Then God will help you conquer the enemies. You got my point? In other words, what's God saying? Telling Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Yeshua? On the condition that you have the right attitude. You want to be a covenantal partner and keep all these laws and this commandment, which is loving God and fearing God, walking in his ways. Then God will help you conquer the enemies, okay? Even though they're greater than you. And wherever you go, I'll be there to help you. From the Midbar, etc., and all the borders. And no one will get in your way. Okay? And then he gives you the bracha and klala, and then starts the Chukim Mishpatim, which is from chapter 12 now till chapter 26, about how to become a nation, how to go to war, who goes to war, how you fight your enemies, how you set up a ideal judicial system, how you set up the land properly, how you have laws of social justice, marriage laws, divorce laws, laws of an economic system of Shemitah. You have all the laws in front about how to become this nation representing God. Ending with the finale of the speech that we saw in the end of chapter 26. Sefer Yeshua began, as we saw, with exactly the same psukim. What's God tell Yeshua? Moshe died. You're now coming to conquer the land, which I'm giving you. Same words we saw in the beginning of Yeshua. No one will get in your way. Be strong and make sure to keep all the mitzvot of the Torah. And then God will help you. And you'll be successful. Now, how does this take us back to chapter 24? If I go back, if Yeshua is fulfilling the command that Moshe Rabbeinu told them in the 40th year before he dies in Sefer Dvarim about God will help you conquer the land on the condition you're dedicated to keeping its vote. After we conquer the land with the first wave of conquest, the last act of Yeshua is going to be, let's make this great binding forever. Now, it was binding forever in the beginning, but it was under duress. And that's why now the book's going to end with making this covenant no longer under duress. Let's take a look one last time. What the people accept. It's not opening up. Try one more time. Share. Here we are. Not this one. Our source sheet from last time. That was there. Let's go back to Yeshua's speech. And make it smaller. And we'll go up, down, down, down. Okay. What did the people say in their speech? Yeah. Okay, it's now fear God and serve him, get rid of your enemies, and you decide. Here. What do people say? Viana am biamurchaleno vehavos at Hashem, lavot to other gods. Ki Hashem Eloheinu. Asher kumatam enitruch Hashem, our God, who made the brit in Har Sinai. He's the one who took us out of Egypt. We're going to follow him. Then Yeshua says, Yamanachun avot Hashem ki hu Eloheinu. Remember, liot lach Elohim. He's our God. We're his people. Okay? And then Yeshua warns it would be hard. Say, no, we're going to serve God. And then finally, Yeshua makes the brit in sin. And then Moshe breaks everything down in writing and tells him, this is your sign forever. And then the people go back to their, Yeshua puts the brit in writing, Chok u'Mishpat u'Shchem, writes down all the things, makes a symbol of it. And then this is going to be a sign. Okay. And in case you go against your commitment, this is a sign that you committed as the people to serve God. And only afterwards, he sent them each one to their Nahalah. Meaning, Yeshua understands that if this is going to be, if the conquest land will be complete, Am Yisrael has to be committed to representing God as the people in their nation. And there's a big difference between conquering the land and just living the land as the people. And thus God fulfilling his promise to give this land to Avraham Avinu, as opposed to living in the land and fulfilling the goal of why God gave the land to Avraham Avinu, to be a nation representing God, to be this Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And that's why it's, even though it's not chronologically the last event, fundamentally it's the most important event, then Sefer Yeshua with, the brit that we make at the end of the book, that I'm not sure exactly when Yeshua does it, probably after the first wave of conquest, after the area of Shechem is in their control. But before we go and settle down to the land, Amish has to gather together and make a national commitment to be God's people forever. And the core ideas of Brit Sinai are going to be repeated when we gather together in Shechem. Again, why Shechem? That's the first stop where Avraham Avinu came. That's also the tribe of, Yosef is from, and Yeshua is from Bnei Rochel. Shechem is where they sold him. There's lots of reasons they might go to Shechem. But the main idea is that Yeshua wants to finish, the book of Yeshua is going to end with an epilogue of Am Yisrael's commitment to fulfill Brit Sinai. And Brit Sinai began with, God's promise, who cares about all humankind, but not starting over again, though we're living in the world of Tikkun. He's picking a nation to represent them forever. That'll be Brit Milah. Now, what I want to end with, if Brit Sinai is on the same pattern as Brit Milah and Brit Keshet, what do they all have in common? They're a Brit Olam, they're a Brit Beinu Ubein, and they have an Oth Brit. Anyone know what the Oth Brit is for Brit Sinai?
Shabbat.
Yeah.
Shabbat.
Yeah. We said that every Shabbat, you have to know the whole context. We just do the end of it. But in chapter 31 of Shmo, just read carefully. It's real basic to understanding Shabbat. What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? It's right after all the laws of the Mishkan. Ve'im Hashem Moshe Limor. Atad daber b'nei Yisrael, Limor achet shabtai tishmoru. Keep Shabbat, why? Ki oti b'ni u'b'nechem. See the same phrase? It's not between me and you, l'dor etchem, l'dad ki ani Hashem b'kadishchem. But ten tulim amnechet ponim v'gay kadosh, that's ani Hashem b'kadishchem, that's Brit Sinai. So our old Brit, that we're God's people forever, is going to be Shabbat. Because Shabbat is an oath brit, that we're God's people, if someone desecrates the Sabbath day, you're cut off from your people. You're breaking, if you're taking the symbol of the brit and defaming it, then in essence you're saying you're cutting yourself off from the brit because you're desecrating the symbol of the brit itself, which would be Shabbat. Now, therefore we work 6 days a week, and 7 days we rest. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael must keep Shabbat. For all generations, it's the Brit Olam. The Brit Olam is Brit Sinai, it's an eternal Brit. Shabbat's our eternal remember. again, the same words, Benu Bene Soti Lolam. Shabbat is our eternal brief, remembering not just that God created, but that we're chosen. Because just like God chose one day of the week and made it special, God chose one nation on the 7th day and made it special. It was when God picks one item from a larger group to have an effect on the entire group. So just like making Shabbat special brings God into every day of the week, picking one nation special hopefully will bring God into the other nations. And that's the idea of Kedusha, God separating one item from a larger group to affect the group it was separated from, to become the funnel that brings God back into that group it's taken from. So that's the mega theme of Brit. Just when I went in for Yeshua with this idea that having chapter 24 at the end of the book goes back to the biggest theme of Chumash, of the underlying purpose of why we're chosen. And it's a responsibility that we take at Har Sinai. Not just a gift that we receive, not just a matana, but a mechuyavut. It's an obligation to be God's people. And after Yeshua conquers the land, he wants to make sure that people are obligated to follow the goals of the Brit. And that's why he gathers them in Shem and makes this big, big gathering. Now, the job of the Navi from now on, that'll be our transition. The job of the Navi is to make sure it goes right, to take care of maintenance. Because it's what's bound to happen. People go astray. Once people settle down and they have the land, they don't need God anymore. When you're not in need, sometimes you forget God. Chumash talks about it over and over again. And the job of the Navi is to make sure that the country goes in the right direction. And the second they stop representing God properly, God will warn punishment, and that's going to be the job of the Navi to make sure we keep in the right line. Unfortunately, it'll get so bad by the time we finish Sefer Melachim, we have to go into exile. And then Navi ends when we return to the beginning of Beit Sheni. I'll take questions real quick. And next week we'll start Sefer Shoftim. Okay, let's see what we have in the chat. God, wait a second, I'm missing something here. Chat up. Okay. Okay, the sound is good. Sevi says, not hide through the modern times. Some people have hidden Jewish tradition from their kids. Okay, that's fine. We can't hide from our children our Judaism. That's a good, very good point. Okay, it's purpose, role model. Okay. Okay, God tells Moshe, he never made known to Avram the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. No. He never made name. He never made himself known by that name. No, it's God talked that they're aware of God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but God didn't act in Yud Kei Vav Kei mode. Yud Kei Vav Kei mode means breaking miracles and acting and getting involved in history. That doesn't happen until we come out of Egypt. If you paid attention to the names of all the people, all the leaders of the tribes in Parshat Bamidbar, they all have God's name Shaddai or El or Elohim or Tzur, right? Tzuri El. Elishama. But none of the names have Yud Kei Vav Kei until we get Yeshua. Moshe changed name from Hoshea to Yeshua, adding Yud Kei Vav Kei to his name. But in general, until God manifests itself with miracles involved in our history, God's Yud Kei Vav Kei name might be heard but not known. Doesn't make himself known, but that's the Shirin Parshat Vayera. The reciprocity side, as what they call it, with the rainbow covenant, is that both covenants are eternal no matter how bad we are. But both imply the need for good behavior. So, Brit Keshet, God will never start over again, but he still has expectations of the seven Noach. Right? But it's an eternal Brit, no matter how bad we are, God won't start over again, he'll just punish harshly. But not everybody. Same thing with Am Yisrael, we're always his people, but if we do bad, God doesn't punish us, God doesn't promise I'll never punish you. God promises you'll always be my people. But if you do bad, I'll punish you harshly. But hopefully one day you'll wake up and get your act back together again. That's Shirat Hazino in a nutshell. We began our share with, or our series with. Okay, that's right. The reciprocity is keeping the laws. But again, but the Brit is not dependent on our keeping the laws. The purpose of the Brit is we keep the laws, but the Brit is eternal. It's a Brit Olam. Okay? I think it implied otherwise, okay. There's a main difference between reciprocity and the purpose of the Brit is that we keep the laws. But the eternity of the Brit is not if the goal is fulfilled. The goal is an eternal goal. And the goal remains eternal. And it's just like God, let me show you the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu, just to finish the share. Where are we? We also have Yishayahu, but Yirmiyahu says it more explicitly. Yirmiyahu chapter 33. Should still be there. Where are the people saying? The people saying that God abandoned us. Okay? My brit with them is eternal, just like my brit with the Shemayim Ba'aretz. And I said before here, here, Komar Hashem, Imtafiru, here, Imtafiru, et briti hayom, et briti alayla, yotu yom alayla, kam briti tfar betavid, yotlo ben melech, my brit with the Shemayim Ba'aretz is no different than my brit with Malchut David, therefore Malchut David is chosen forever, and the people didn't believe it, and he has to reiterate it, and then in chapter 32, I think, one second, he had the same thing beforehand in 32 or 34. One second. That's the state of our Yeah, here we go. Chapter 2. I'm going to bring them back afterwards from all the lands, which I brought them back to, back from. And I'll bring them back to this place. See that phrase again? That's Brit Milah. And hence Brit Sinai. But ultimately, we're going to go back to that ideal where we'll be his people and he'll be our God. And then I'll give you a Lev Echad, the pure God. And V'charati lem Brit Olam, asher lo ashum me'achareyam, v'ativi etchem, et yiriti etem b'libam, v'ativi sum re'alai. And then v'hastam v'ativi etchem, that's the promise of after exile, I've got to bring you back, and hopefully it'll be again, the brit always remains eternal, but even when we come back, we can still, if we don't do properly, we can get punished again. Okay, I think that was it for the questions. Everyone have a good week. And, I just want to give something about the brit. Again, the main thing, the brit of Matan Torah is a brit of obligation. Not just the matana, not just the present, but obligation. And remembering the brit is remembering the responsibility of the brit. Not just thanking God, oh, I received the present, but thanking God for I received the responsibility. And it's an eternal brit. God can't break that, but its ramifications are also eternal. And if we do a lousy job, God will have to do something to punish us until we get it right. How to apply that modern day time, to ask your local rabbi. But I'm just trying to give the theme that develops in tonight.
Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple of things. Oh, number one, if Hashem would have known that he was giving Sinai under duress, or that the people would have given under duress, that would have given Sinai at all, because it seems superfluous to give that.
No, you're going to give it over again. In a nutshell, Matan Torah is a process, not an event. That's what happens. In other words, Matan Torah, we can't begin conquering the land until we enter the covenant. And so the first covenant is setting the purpose, etc. But it's meaningful. It happens sometimes in marriage. Someone's like set up, and then you have to like you're restating your vows afterwards. You know, sometimes young couple gets set up without knowing what they're getting into, and then ultimately they get back together and now they know what they're getting into. It's called renewing your vows. You can take a lot of human examples, but there's a need to enter a brit in the first place before you get anything coming out of Egypt. This gets started. I'm made to establish it, but there's also a value in reestablishing the brit after you're no longer under duress. like children, parents put their children into, like, let's say a child converts in youth. When you're converted when you're, before bar mitzvah age, before adulthood. There's a value in re-accepting the conversion once you're a mature adult.
That's an amazing segue for what I'm going to say next. Next week, I'm sponsoring this year, and the occasion is that on Memorial Day, 30 years ago, both Rabbi Kelman and I got married in Toronto on consecutive days. So I'm sponsoring this year next week, and I hope it'll all be.
It's beautiful. Okay. Very good. We're looking forward to that next week. Everyone have a good week, and next week we'll start Sefer Shoftim.